hai alte dineni che mali ve alta mod elei heki che faoli be hamlat khage mol alai ve haye ve alna te shallem li gemuli ge on li bi lecha ashpil ve ekera ve machovi levavi lo me'ili ve levav ani nitzav ve ne'etav alei she'i ve rover she'i ve sichevi.
Euthanasia is the correct term, yes? Yes.
כעין אשורי מנתיבך מעט ברגל.
Poor animals.
Does this warrant a Grimsby?
Do you know how many time zones there are in the Soviet Union?
Power and all that. That's power. We got so much power. That's ridiculous.
We have
power, 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 power now. It's ridiculous. We got so much power now.
Do you know how many time zones there are in the Soviet Union?
It's not even funny. That's ridiculous.
Do you know how many?
It's not even funny. That's ridiculous.
Do you know how many?
That's ridiculous.
Do you know how many times?
That's ridiculous. It's not even funny. It's not even funny. It's not even funny.
Do you know how many time zones there are in the Soviet Union?
It's not even funny. How many time zones?
Yeah. We have four in this country, right?
How many time zones?
Yeah.
1, 2, 3.
Four in this country, right?
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh.
4. 1, 2, 3. Yes, sir.
Right?
1, 2, 3. Yes, sir.
Uh-huh.
4 time zones?
Yeah. We have 4 in this country, right?
No, sir.
We have...
Yes, sir.
Huh?
And,
Do you know how many time zones they have?
Yes, sir. 4? No, sir. I never really studied that up.
11.
11. It's not even funny.
That's 11.
11. That's ridiculous.
11.
11. Well, that's what we can do. We can go anywhere because we live here.
But not only the right of free travel, I'm saying 11.
Chicken's liver. You have a child handy, push it through a sieve.
Beef.
Bacon.
See, bacon.
Streaky bacon.
Good bacon.
Bacon sandwiches.
Better bacon. More pieces of bacon.
Interesting bacon.
Local bacon.
Need of bacon.
Grouse or partridge.
Rabbit.
Pheasant.
Rabbit.
Pheasant.
Rabbit.
Pheasant.
Can I get in to the oven?
Bacon.
Rabbit.
Chicken.
We may be about to get a rare glimpse of former President Nixon's New Year's Day as Rabbi Baruch Korf, a founder and currently sole member of the President Nixon Justice Fund, leaves Mr. Nixon's study. He's coming towards the Metro News stereo news mic. Good morning, Rabbi, and Happy New Year to you, sir.
Well, good morning to you. I accept your greetings with, of course, a grain of salt because my denominational New Year, as you know, took place sometime in September. But we mustn't forget it is Mr. Nixon's New Year as well as yours. So, Happy New Year.
All right, thank you, sir. Rabbi, is the former president watching the Rose Parade this morning?
Not only is he watching the parade, but the president's mind is so alert with thinking that he's writing down his observations about the festivities on paper for his memoirs. He said to me, and I'll quote him, quote, he thought this was the best parade of his entire retirement. This is, as you know, a very brave man. Don't forget, he used to be the president.
Is the parade affecting his mood at all?
Not at all, no. He still has a headache and his arm is now getting stiff. This is not a well man. His wife, you know, is also in bad shape.
And still he watches.
Well, of course, that's the secret of his greatness. He never gets distracted. He has, as you know, 7 television sets in his library. 5 of them are tuned to the parade, and the other 2 are for the Sugar Bowl.
Rabbi, has he discussed with you this morning any plans to re-enter public life?
You know very well I can't comment on anything the president said to me of any interest. But I can tell you that this man's talents will not be wasted much longer. I do know that while watching the parade, what broke my heart was when they named this grand marshal of a parade as important as this an old cowboy and his cowgirl wife, while a true leader sits upstairs in his rocking chair and waits to be asked to do that next year.
You mean Mr. Nixon would like to be grand marshal?
He feels it is his duty. I shouldn't say anything more about this. It will all come out in the dirty linen. What? Thank you, Barry. Thank you. That's all I can say of now. Right. I'm trying to get a cab to take me to Balboa.
All right. Thank you, Rabbi. From San Clemente, this is Barry Christworthy, Metro News, returning you to Parade Central in Pasadena.
Flaxen-haired maidens roamed the countryside, and wild boars groveled at the feet of kings. When great stone palaces loomed over the land, and every river ran to the sea. I was there when dragons flew from cloud to cloud, and eunuchs danced in the village halls, when a man's bare foot was his word, and a simple song his bond.
All right, children, get on the stove. And I'll tell you a Hanukkah poem. Was the night before Hanukkah, and all through the flat, not a creature was stirring, not even a cat. The gotches were hung by the stove there to dry, cause the zeder had gefallen in some hazaray. The kinder were sleeping in their little beds, while visions of Chalewa danced in their heads. And Mama in her babushka, and me in my yarmulke, were just sitting around waiting for Hanukkah. When all of a sudden on the fire escape stood a fetter agruba with a long weiße moon. And what to my old bloodshot eyes should appear but Pinkus's pushcart with 8 tiny reindeer. They all looked alike like sister and brother. I still don't know how he knew each from the other. Shrike, Dashby, Ginsby, Weinstein, Nixler, Carmichael, Shapiro, Dandele, Blitzele. From the bottom of the stoop to the top of the roof, now Dashby, 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 poof! Up to the roof, the reindeer they flew, with a pushcart full of noshes, and the meshuggah in it too. As we drew in our heads, zusammen the beta, there came a geschrei from inside the dumbwaiter. With a oh and a ah and a oi and a twitch. He pulled out his pipe and he asked for a match. Then my wife asked a question, like a typical Yente.
Tell me, old man, are you really Santa?
Before he could answer, "It is ordained," she screamed,
"Keep off the walls, we just had it painted. Your Yiddish is a tear from the North Pole."
He said, "Strictly, Miami, don't be a yole." His eyes, how they twinkled, his dimples, how merry. He asked for some seltzer with a small dash of cherry. In 1 second, 2 seconds, 3 seconds, perhaps, he stood up from the chair and he gave out a grips. He said not a word, he told us to shush and started to trim in the Hanukkah bush. With dreidels and cladels and date nuts and knishes, I got to admit it looked very delicious. Then laying a finger on the side of his nose, he turned to the dumbwaiter and said, "Well, here goes, mid a hoo and a ah and a oi got in you." He flew up the shaft like Fagelers do. He jumped on his push cart to his team, gave a whistle, and took off like a big S-less missile. He gave a big yell as he drove out of sight.
Happy Hanukkah to all, and to all a good Yom Tov.
The other day I heard a certain Irish friend of mine discussing what is going on out there in Palestine. "Too bad it is," says I, says he, "it has to be this way. And speaking strictly neutrally is all I have to say. The Jews have got their Irish up and nothing is going to hold them down. Instead of singing ailey, ailey, they are swinging a shillelagh like we did in dear old Dublin town. The Jews, who've nothing more to lose, are tired of being kicked around. They're fighting for their home, and be it Finkelstein or Flynn, the man who's fighting for his home is a man who's got to win. The Jews have got their Irish up, and nothing is going to hold them down." And nothing is going to hold them down. Instead of singing ailey, ailey, they are swinging a shillelagh like we did in dear old Dublin town. The Jews, who've nothing more to lose, are tired of being kicked around. They're fighting for their home, and be it Finkelstein or Flynn, the man who's fighting for his home is a man who's got to win. The Jews have got their Irish up, and nothing is gonna hold them down. I'll say it again. Nothing is gonna hold them down.
We have a storage problem in Germany with these Jews. And there have been conversations for almost a year now about this Jew and that Jew and the complexities of the law. And this problem, as you, I'm sure, know, has tormented us. As you know, we first undertook to expel them from all means by which our people would have to deal with them. Every sphere of life of our German people. The laws we enacted at Nuremberg, and we should all drink a toast to Dr. Stuckert for devising them.
Co-author. Modestly, I am the co-author.
They established the fundamental legality for the creation of a Jew-free society, a Jew-free economy for the world to see, and we indeed have eliminated the Jew from our national life. Now, more than that, the Jew himself must be physically eradicated from our living space.
Clarification.
Absolutely. There will be a moment for that. But if I may, we pursued a vigorous policy of emigration, but who would take more of them? Who would want them was the policy's ultimate limitation. Every border in Europe rejects them or charges outrageously to accept them.
America.
Even America, thank you, yes, where Jews whisper all the time in Roosevelt's ear. Still, they turn them away. Then, in acquiring Poland, we acquired 2.5 million more. So by last July, we were met with a new situation. We would, in very short order, be acquiring some 5 million Jews as we conquered Russia. The dimensions of this problem, then, have magnified astoundingly. 5 million.
Exactly the problem. Our ghettos are full of...
All those ghettos, yes, with Polish names. Fully occupied, but hold for now, please, if you would. At that time, last July, confronting this new situation, Reichsmarschall Göring prepared a directive. You have a copy in your folders. The operative words, if you will permit me to read... I hereby charge you with making all necessary preparations in regard to organizational and financial matters for bringing about a complete solution of the Jewish question in the German sphere of influence in Europe. Now, for that, I read the cleansing of the entire continent of Europe.
You see, the word cleansing.
An accurate word, I think. If I may go on... In the second paragraph, wherever other governmental agencies are involved, these are to cooperate with you, I hope, so on, as necessary for the accomplishment of the desired solution of the Jewish question. So, this is our mandate, all of us.
May I say, in fairness, the Jewish question falls within the responsibilities of my department, the Reichschancery, and no directive has been issued to
mine. Give me a moment or two. Finally, what has happened since that directive was written? Succinctly now. We are standing still in Russia. The Americans have now joined the war. Both of these events, a further drain on our military, our economy, our manpower, our food supply. We cannot store these Jews. Emigration is over. And the inevitable solution is what we, together at this table, will discuss this afternoon.
Thank you.
if I were a rich man, yabba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dum, all day long I biddy biddy bum. If I were a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work hard, yabba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dum. If I were a biddy biddy rich, idle diddle 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 man, I'd build a big tall house with rooms by the dozen, right in the middle of the town. A fine tin roof with the real wooden floors below. There would be one long staircase just going up, and one even longer coming down, and one more leading nowhere just for show. I'd fill my yard with the chicks and turkeys and geese and ducks for the town to see and hear, squawking just as noisily as they can. And each lovely evening will land like a trumpet in the ear, as if to say, here lives a wealthy man. If I were a rich man, yabba dibba 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 dum, all day long I'd biddy biddy bum. If I were a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work hard, yabba dibba 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 dum. If I were a biddy biddy rich, idle diddle 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 man, I see my wife, my golden, looking like a rich man's wife with a proper double chin, supervising meals to her heart's delight. I see her putting on airs and strutting like a peacock. Oh, what a happy mood she's in, screaming at the servants day and night. And most important, in town will come to phone on me. They'll ask me to advise them, like a Solomon the wise. If you please, Rebetavia, pardon me, Rebetavia, posing problems that would cross a rabbi's eyes. And it won't make one bit of difference if I answer right or wrong. When you're rich, they think you really know. If I were rich, I'd have the time that I like to sit in the synagogue and pray, and maybe have a seat by the eastern wall, and I discuss the holy books with the learned men 7 hours every day, and that would be the sweetest thing of all. If I were a rich man, yabba dibba 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 dum, all day long I biddy biddy bum. If I were a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work hard, yabba dibba 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 dum. Lord, who made the lion and the lamb, you decreed I should be what I am. Would it spoil some eternal plan if I were a wealthy man?
Man,
should have seen me way back then. I could tell a tale, I could make it spin. I could tell you black was white. I could tell you day was night. Not only that, I could tell you why. Back then, I could really tell a lie. Well, I'd hire a kid to say that he was lame. Then I'd touch him and I'd make him walk again. Then I'd pull some magic trick. I'd pretend to heal the sick. I was taking everything they had to give. It wasn't all that bad a way to live. Well, I'm in this desert town and it's hot as hell. But nobody's buying what I've got to sell. I make my lame kid walk. I make a dumb guy talk. I'm preaching up a storm both night and day. Everyone just turns and walks away. Well, I can see that I'm only wasting time. So I head across the road to drink some wine. This old man comes up to me. He says, I seen you on the street. You're pretty good, if I do say so myself. But the guy come through last month, he was something else. Instead of calling down fire from above, he just gets real quiet and talks about love. And I'll tell you something funny, he didn't want nobody's money. I'm not exactly sure what this all means, but it's the damnedest thing I swear I've ever seen. Every town's the same. I can't make a dime. I don't know why I came. I decide I'll go and find him, and I find out who's behind him. He's got everyone convinced that he's for real. Well, I figure we can work some kind of deal. Well, he offers me a job, I say fine. He says I'll get paid off on down the line. Well, I guess I'll string along. Don't see how too much can go wrong. As long as he pays my way, I guess I'll follow. We're heading for Jerusalem tomorrow.
Thank you.
singing ay, 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 ay,
Hebrew is their numerical system, man. Each letter is a number. Like the Hebrew A, Aleph, it's one. B, Bet, it's two. You understand? But look at this. The numbers are interrelated. Like take the Hebrew word for father. Av, Aleph, Bet. One, two, equals three. All right? Hebrew word for mother, Aim, Aleph, Mem. One, 40, equals 41. Sum of 3 and 41, 44. All right? Now, Hebrew word for child. All right? Mother, father, child. Yelad. That's 10, 30, and 4. 44. Torah is just a long string of numbers. Some say that it's a code sent to us from God.
That's kind of interesting.
Yeah. That's just kid stuff. Check this out, okay? The word for the Garden of Eden, Kedem. Numerical translation, 144. Now, the value of tree of knowledge, all right, in the garden, right? Eitz HaChayim, 233. 144, 233. And you can take those numbers. So, nope.
You know.
No, the Fibonacci sequence.
Fibonacci
is an Italian mathematician in the 13th century. If you divide 144 into 233, the result approaches theta.
Theta?
Theta. The Greek symbol for golden ratio, golden spiral.
To the Tunnel Vision In Focus newsroom and anchorman Ray Thompson.
Well, you all remember that tragedy last month when Kenya exploded its first nuclear device. Well, today Poland became the 112th nuclear power when it successfully tested a 50 megaton device in downtown Warsaw. When asked about the wisdom of dropping a nuclear bomb on such a heavily populated area, President Gorky Kapusta said, "That's why we dropped it at night."
Coming up, those stories and more when News in Focus returns after this.
This is our oil rig, number 32, off the coast of Santa Monica, California. Last year, this oil rig killed over 5 million fish, and we here at Axon are proud of it. After our research scientists discovered that fish caused coronary thrombosis, we decided to spill over 2,500 barrels of oil into the ocean each day. Since 1974, we have destroyed over 22.5 billion of these ocean living pests in the name of community service. Fish, they're better off dead. That's why we're doing something about it at Axon, the sign of the double cross. Your mother's passed away, but that's no reason to lose touch. Now, with your telephone company's new service, you can dial the other world direct for just 90 cents.
Hello? Hello, Ma?
Your telephone company's new service. It's the next best thing to being there.
You gotta level with me.
Mark, brace yourself. You're pregnant.
He was the world's first man in a family way.
I want to keep it! It's my baby!
Mark Parker, he was strong and tough until he became a pregnant man.
Saturday at 9, 8 Central.
And the news ends with an ironic note tonight. The Supreme Court ruled yesterday that in a head body transplant, the identity of the person created is the head's. In the case of Smith or Cannizzaro against Illinois, the court upheld a ruling that the combination of Donald Smith's head and Edward Cannizzaro's body is by law Donald Smith. Smith had claimed he was Cannizzaro and therefore eligible for Cannizzaro's unemployment benefits. And that's the news.
A delicatessen owner serves his own tongue to save money. Your phone call decides his fate on You, the Jury, July 4th at 2 o'clock, around 12:30 Central.
I hear somebody.
Rob?
I hear a voice that I recognize.
Oh, I'm so glad you're wearing the Spinal Tap.
Well, I'm doing it's a shameless promotion.
I've had half a chubby ever since I've heard that this is coming out. Oh. I mean, I am one of a legion of people who have been waiting for years for a Spinal Tap.
You've been waiting 41 years.
I understand.
You know, nobody's ever done a sequel 41 years after the first one.
It's great that they're all still here.
Yes. It's a plus. It's a plus. Although we have a bit in the second one, which I hope you'll see at some point.
Oh, first day.
Yeah, and there's a bit where the guy who's a promotion guy says to them, listen, it will help your legacy if at least one of you were to die during the concert. Because
so true.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the best career move anybody ever made.
Right. And then, of course, they say, well, Chris, as Nigel says, well, I don't want to die. And then McKean, as David says, will you settle for a coma? And he says, ooh, well, that's very good thinking outside the literal box, actually.
Oh, that's
yeah.
Funny.
No.
We are all in our own silos.
Right. It's by the way, it's very humbling. Because it means that when we go, nobody's going to remember any of this stuff. And but now we're at a different time. Now we're at a different time because it's not about, like, during the 60s, with the Vietnam War, that was the whole idea was the creeping communism. And in the 50s was McCarthyism, that there's communism under the bed. Everywhere you look is a communist. Right. And what we didn't want was to be like the Soviet Union. We were basically saying, you know, protect America for democracy. And we fought against Hitler, to win the Second World War.
And
fascism.
Not communism. No. That we fought against fascism. As a matter of fact, the Russians fought on our side during the Second War. So we fought against fascism, and now that's the argument. Because America, as, you know, as ugly as it's been over the years, fits and starts, it moves towards hopefully better things. I mean, women couldn't vote, they can vote. Blacks couldn't marry whites, they can. Gays couldn't get married, they can.
Right.
So we had a black president. I mean, things move along very slowly, and we certainly have an ugly past, slavery and all of that. But this is the first time that we've had another type of government, form of government, taking away that slow and awkward progress. And that is, we're looking at, you know, authoritarians around the world, and we have a guy who wants to be one of those guys. And so it's tough. It's a very tough thing, because I don't know. Maybe you can tell me. You may be able to tell me. Because right after the First World War, Germany was a democracy for a minute before Hitler came in, and then he said no.
The Weimar Republic.
Yeah. So we're going to do the Third Reich and all that.
And Hitler was elected.
Yeah. But he was only, he never had more than 25% of the electorate, but he figured out a way to do it.
Well, in a parliamentary system,
yes.
Very often people don't.
Yeah, that's
There's
true.
Many parties.
Yeah, that's true. So he becomes a fascist state, and they do what they do, which is the horror. And after the war, the Germany moves back towards a democracy, slowly becomes a democracy, one of the best, strongest democracies in the world right now. But here's what's uncomfortable for us right now, where we are. My wife, her mother was in Auschwitz. She was the only survivor of her whole family. Her whole family died in Auschwitz. My Uncle Charlie was part of D-Day and fought in 11 major battles and, you know, liberated camps. My second father, Norman Lear, flew 52 bombing missions over Nazi Germany, all in service, and millions died, all in service of making sure that we would never become an authoritarian fascist state. And here we are, 80 years after that war, and we're moving towards that. It's scary. It's very hard to find somebody who doesn't have a podcast.
So what is your point?
Perfect is the enemy of the good.
Right. Perfect is the enemy of the good.
There's two things you don't talk about. One's politics, the other one's religion.
Like the Vegas guys do. Like that. It's over.
The reason you don't talk about them is because they combine in each other.
Not for them.
Let's see what we got in here.
I got a surprise for you.
Oh.
The Hebrew National Salami.
I don't believe that.
Nope, you don't have to believe it at all.
Oh, I've got to get interested.
Patriarchy and privilege and all stuff like
that. Yeah, which bathroom you go into shouldn't be at the hill that you die on.
Right. Yeah, right. And for people of our age who pee a lot.
Yeah.
This is
really, if there's a room, I can open it up and go in. I have that joke. I put it in bucket list, you know. I was making this movie, American President, and they had a consultant on it. He was a retired Secret Service guy, and he was telling me, because he was an older guy, he said, the three things you got to remember when you get old. And I put it right in bucket list. I had Nicholson say it. He says, never pass up a bathroom, never waste a hard-on, and never trust a fart. So that was the three. So, yes, if there's a bathroom there, we want to be able to access it.
See, there's one you could redo.
The bucket list?
No, the American President.
Oh, the American President. Yeah.
I mean, God, when you think of it, now, this is Michael Douglas in 1990-something?
Six, or yeah, something
okay.
like that.
I mean, that's 30 years ago, and you think about what the presidency was.
Yeah.
And you know. And, you know.
And the issues are still the same. We still have a gun. We still have too many guns and people getting, you know, murdered every day, you know, on the streets. And Aaron Sorkin, who wrote the screenplay, he was interested in gun control.
No, it's just been, a dark weekend. I'll tell you what's fucking wild, though, is the narcissism. First of all, the mental illness that we have had for the last 9 years running this country is really astounding. And I am amazed at people who are so into politics that they just refuse to see it if it's wearing the color tie that they root for. I've seen it on both sides, so I'm not attacking either side. But, like, dude, I mean, how you make what happened this weekend, how you politicize it, and then make it like these people died because they weren't fans of you as a leader is one of, like, that's one of the most narcissistic fucking things ever. And this is the thing that makes me really, you know, I've come back where I'll believe in a higher power. If that's what you're into. But, like, to believe in one that actually cares, like, if it's actually a loving entity, why would it create narcissists and mouth-breathing morons? Why would you do that? Like, what would that do for everyone stuck in the middle of that? But I have to be honest with you. Like, that fucking comment, for me, is enough to be like, this person should be removed. And whoever's next in line should be stuck in. The same way, like, you know, just before all you fucking lunatics get all your butt hurt, get your red panties in a bunch. Like, when the last guy would be, like, mid-sentence, the president of the United, and lose his fucking train of thought, and you'd see the panic. He started wearing, like, sunglasses, so you couldn't fucking... trying to hide. Like, I don't understand it. I just don't. At what point, like, what does somebody have to do in the last 9 years of this shit that I've watched? What does somebody have to do to, like, be deemed not mentally stable enough to run a nation? Evidently, we haven't gotten there yet. And I'll tell you, if we didn't get there with the last guy, we didn't get there with the fucking last guy. We're never going to get there with this guy. It is just like... I mean, that train of thought is just batshit. Batshit fucking crazy. I don't know. I don't pretend to know how these things fucking work. But, so that was... I guess, you know, that was the weekend. That's what happened. And in the middle of all of this, it kills me that regular people, we can't somehow... Like, I bet there was more people talking about, like, commenting on what the narcissist... How he somehow... Like, this is when you know you're a narcissist. When somebody get... A couple gets brutally murdered by their own son, you somehow figure out a way to shoehorn yourself into that equation so people are talking about you. I mean, it's fucking amazing. It's really amazing. I think narcissists are, like, influencers in the most... the purest form. Where I feel like influencers have to strategize how to get themselves into the zeitgeist or whatever they say, where a narcissist is just natural. They just know what to say to bring the fucking thing around to themselves. By the way, anybody who's a fan of this guy, if you can somehow justify that fucking statement, this has been one of my favorite things the last 9 years, is when I think I'm stating the obvious, like, this guy has mental problems. Be it the person on the right or the left, I cannot get somebody who votes either way like staunchly, hardcore, to own up. What they usually do is just bring up somebody else. You know, well, Obama, well, Biden, or well, Trump, well, Bush. They just do that. It's like, no, I'm not talking. I'm talking about the guy right in front of us who just said the shit. Like, how does that not concern you? They won't budge. They will not budge. Anyway, my condolences to Rob and Michelle Reiner. Rob Reiner, just an absolute juggernaut of a talent. Whatever side of the camera, or writer, or whatever he was doing, he just... And for so many decades, at just such a high level. And, you know, on All in the Family, which is one of the greatest sitcoms of all time, the Archie Bunker meathead relationship was just, it just was like, it was comedy gold. And I grew up watching that stuff, so... And I grew up watching his movies, Spinal Tap, you know, When Harry Met Sally, all of these things. And as much as I loved his directing and his writing and everything, I really missed him as an actor, because I just thought he was so naturally funny. And that he was one of those guys who didn't have to try. He could just literally say the line. And... it's just, it's such a friggin' tragedy. And then, of course, you know, these mass shootings and stuff. I just don't know why they keep showing the face and the name of the shooter. Like, why do you, this is, I've, haven't people way smarter than me figured out that this is why some of these people, kids, do this shit? Why would you keep doing it? It's like, you know why they're doing it, for the money. You know, so then they can turn it into, like, some sort of fucking Netflix series. It's just, it's fucking like you got to give it up to capitalism. Like, I don't give a fuck, terrorist attack, I don't give a fuck what it is, I don't care how tragic it is, they'll figure out merch, at the very least merch, where a portion of the proceeds goes to help the victims. Yeah, where does the other portion go? Anyway,
why is she lying?
Original idea for Natural Born Killers. By the way, I watched this movie last week, and I was saying, I hadn't seen it since it came out, and having rewatched it, I realized that it's a romantic comedy with just a high body count. It's actually, I feel like initially this movie was offered to Hugh Grant. He turned it down, and then when they got, you know, Juliette Lewis and Woody Harrelson, they go, all right, let's change the tone of this. But let's keep the love story, because America loves a happy ending. All right. Dear Bill the Buddha Burr, you recently talked about rewatching Natural Born Killers and how the social commentary on media exploitation of violence is plaguing our society. I'm not sure if you're aware, but Quentin wrote that script as the first half of a screenplay called The Open Road. Open Road, but his agent convinced him to split it into two. The second half became True Romance. I did not know that. He was forced to sell both scripts to fund Reservoir Dogs, so he never got to execute his vision of the movie, which was completely different from what Oliver Stone did. I do remember Quentin Tarantino getting into a physical altercation with somebody connected with True Romance. I mean, they're all great movies. I mean, I watch any of those movies. Think I give a fuck? He was for blah, 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 blah. Okay, so he never got to execute his vision of the movie, which was completely different from what Oliver Stone did. Natural Born Killers was not supposed to be a satire or social commentary. It was supposed to be a traditional love story, but with the couple expressing their love in a very non-traditional way, i.e. murder. Tarantino was so unhappy with what Stone did to the script that he actually removed his name as a writing credit. Dude, that's why Tarantino is, he's got balls. No one knew who the fuck he was, and he took his name off a script that, that Oliver Stone was doing.
Sir.
Before Reservoir Dogs came out. That was, that's amazing.
It just got colder.
He just knew. He knew where he was going. He knew what he was fucking doing. Anyway, if you watch True Mount Romance, that film stuck closer to what he intended for both films, and he has publicly expressed praise for Tony Scott's direction. Oh, so maybe I had it backwards. Knowing me. Anyway.
The what?
Any more, like, backstories you guys have on, like, bands or movies or sports? I love all of that shit. Anyways, hope all is well with you and the family. Ha ha, all the best and go fuck yourself.